Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Michigan governor has now backtracked after pro-lifers file a lawsuit against her for punishing their presence on a public sidewalk. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. Well, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is a Democrat in Michigan, and she had issued an executive order, again, saying that, as many of her other orders have said, abortion clinics are essential. And on March 31, a group of pro-life activists were holding signs outside the Scottsdale Women's Center. At least 8 police officers showed up at the abortion clinic to threaten the peaceful demonstrators with jail time if they did not leave. The Detroit officers claimed the activists were violating Whitmer's stay-at-home order put in place to blunt the spread of COVID-19. The coronavirus. Michigan, like many other states, deemed abortion clinics essential. While being outside is not a crime, though, the police officers explained to the pro-lifers that their demonstration at the clinic was not essential. Not essential.
Wow.
I mean, that's the problem that we're seeing, Holly. Governors, mayors, even police officers in some situations, and I highly respect so many of the law enforcement out there. They're doing a great job. Some of them, however, have overstepped. Misstated, and they say that your presence on a public sidewalk exercising your constitutionally protected right of freedom of speech and assembly, even though you're distancing from one another, is not essential. I mean, it is absolutely essential, because what we're talking about is life and death decisions at these abortion clinics.
Absolutely. So it makes me wonder, what does she consider essential? Is a church essential in her mind, but an abortion center is?
Yeah, well, during the interaction with the police, one of the activists asked if he could pray for the officers. 3 of them walked away, but 2 appeared to bow their heads. Eventually, the officers left after handing out tickets to the pro-life activists. But just a short week after the altercation, a federal lawsuit had been filed on behalf of the pro-lifers. And the Michigan governor, after getting sued under this lawsuit, changed her mind and said, well, I didn't mean to say that the First Amendment's rights go away. So at least backtracked on that. But you know what? The problem is that these orders at the very beginning, whatever they do say, there is one executive order that has said something similar to this. And that is that this order is not intended to, or should not be applied to, restrict unnecessarily, however you want to word it, but constitutionally protected rights. Mm. Look, the Constitution doesn't evaporate during the coronavirus, the lockdown, or any other time in our history. It still is alive and well. And now more than ever, churches are essential. Their ministries are essential. Many churches do more than just an online broadcast, or I should say a message that can be transferred to online. There are many things churches do that cannot be done online, and many of the people don't have online. And certainly, these abortion clinics that are operating that people think they're so essential, there ought to be people out there that are even more essential now giving a message of hope and an alternative. And we actually have a very similar case to that, Holly, in Virginia, where because some pro-lifers contacted us, and they operated within these restrictions in Virginia, they actually were able and instrumental in saving twins in a teenage girl who was brought to the abortion clinic by her mother to abort what became known as twins. And the only reason they knew about that is because after several attempts to go to the abortion clinic, driving past, and then talking to the counselors, they ended up changing their mind, and they were referred to a crisis pregnancy center where they had an ultrasound. And guess what appeared on the ultrasound? Not one, but two children in this mother's womb.
And you know, what you were saying, it really shows the agenda of these governors, what they consider essential and what they don't. I mean, if you and I and two other people were to go out on a sidewalk, we distance ourselves appropriately and just stand there, it really wouldn't be an issue. But because they're located in front of an abortion center, it becomes an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this governor actually issued a stay-at-home order that was very broad, saying that you can't even travel between residences, only if to see family members. And that order was to go into effect until May 1. Now, these orders change by the hour by the press conference. You know, they change after each press conference. It seems as though the governors and the mayors, they love now to have their daily press conference. Mm-hmm. And then they change these orders quickly without lots of information to give out. They just say it. You know, but what we have here is in Michigan, you can go to all these other places that they've deemed essential, and you can jam the parking lots and you can jam the stores. But you can actually put your hand on the same, in the grocery store, the same place where other people have put their hands on fruit and vegetables. Or when you look at packages, or when you open the freezer door, you can jam in those places. You can look at the products in Home Depot, and they don't have any problem with that. But now what we're seeing is some of them say, well, you can't gather on a public sidewalk. Well, fortunately, that was changed after this lawsuit in Michigan. And what we're now seeing, Holly, are people going to the state capitals, and they are protesting against some of these very broad government restrictions. It's happened in Ohio. It's happening in Michigan. It's happening in North Carolina. It's beginning to happen around the country where people are saying enough is enough. Right. We need to begin to turn the corner. Yes, systematically. You know, what is good for Arkansas may be different than what's happening in New York City. There can be a systematic reopening of the country. And that can be based in part upon what is happening in those particular areas. But this lockdown across the country in many parts of America is having a very negative effect on the churches, on people that churches serve, such as increase, as I have mentioned, we've got a press release of domestic and child abuse, child sexual exploitation, alcohol consumption, drug abuse, a dramatic rise in pornography. Those things are going to have long-lasting effect after even the country reopens. So there's so much damage. There's a lot of other national security interests that are at stake, and that comes from China. China doesn't have our best interest in mind. China is buying up various kinds of stocks in the United States and around the world, and they're increasing their footprint in the United States of America. We need to see what's happening out there. We also know that there are people that have been using this virus for other agendas, like Bill Gates, for example, in the digital ID, the ID 2020, and the digital ID where everybody gets an ID, and Gates wants to reduce CO2 emissions down to zero. He's got a 4-point plan. One of them is reduce worldwide population by 15%. The next one is increased health care and vaccinations. Well, how do you have better health care and vaccinations and yet reduce the population? Well, maybe how it's happening in India, where in India they found that their vaccinations were laced with infertility drugs and other places around the world. Look, we have to take a broad picture. Yes, protect the health and safety of people. That's a given. But I think we have gone way too far, and it is time to turn the corner. I know it is beyond time, really, for us to start making that turn, because the longer we go, the more collateral damage we have, the more damage that we'll see. And there's a lot of forgotten people out there, friends, whether it's these people that access the abortion clinics and there's nobody out on the sidewalk anymore because they've been intimidated by the police, whether it's the child that's being abused, sexually exploited, whether it's the person who's now consuming so much alcohol, they're making bad decisions, those that are consuming, you know, pornography that have become or will become, are becoming addicted to it. We need to turn the corner. And we need to pray that God ultimately rises up the church to be so essential that whenever the doors of that church are shut, the community groans in its absence. That's the kind of church that I think our Lord is looking for. Pray for this country as we continue to move forward. For more information, follow Liberty Council. Go to lc.org, lc.org. You can subscribe to our emails online, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.